Oh, it's late at night and you're laying in bed all by yourself or with maybe someone you love next to you, just getting ready to doze off to sleep. And who comes in to ruin it? Old Cabali and Mac. Welcome in. It's Cabali and Mac after dark this week because, well, we both got too much shit going on. In particular, me, busy during the day. And so we thought, what the hell? We'll do it at night. We'll do it live. Damn it. We'll do it live. And so here we are, we're doing it live at, 10:02 PM or whatever the heck it is, on what's today now, the 18th of February. It's a Tuesday, a week from now, Kaboom will be out in Indy. We'll have had his chat with Omar Khan. We'll get maybe a little bit closer to some answers about what's going to happen this offseason. No, Mark just shakes his head and says, screw that. We're not going to know until things actually happen. Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsors here on Cabali and Mac. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The Dan Heck team here to help you buy or sell a home. You need to get it done, and you need to get it done quickly in some cases. They're here to help. They want to make sure you get in the right home as well. They want to make sure you find the right community for you and your family. And they also want to remind you that our friends at the Whitehall Fire Company are raffling off that 2025 Ford F-150 STX to raise money for their fire hall. Tickets are only $45. Cabali has not bought them all yet, but you want to go to whitehallfire301.com before he does buy the remaining raffle tickets, because he wants a big boy truck to put in that fancy driveway, correct?
Oh, I'd like to have a truck, but
gas mileage.
Ah, forget gas mileage. I just want to, you know, I want one of those old trucks, like where you could like go get like a couple yards of manure and throw in there.
What? So you want to have a big truck just so you can throw manure in the back, or you want to be able to throw manure in the back, but not actually do it?
Yeah, you know, well, you get those trucks and you put those nice little tarps on the back, and they're all carpeted. Yeah. I mean, what good is that? I want to, you know, be able to lug some brush and some, you know, some.
Where are you tearing down brush from, honestly?
My old house. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, you want to be able to do truck guy stuff. You just don't want to actually do it. You just want to know that you're able to do truck guy stuff.
Well, see, I fit a little bit better in a truck than a 2010 Nissan Altima at this point.
True. I mean,
The beater
gets good mileage, though, I bet, right?
I don't drive it that far to be able to realize it anymore.
Just back and forth all the time to the fan when they're dragging it in there.
I would love to have a truck.
Go enter the raffle.
That truck is just like pretty boy truck. I want rugged, tough man truck, but I'll take that one.
That's a nice truck. A Ford F-150 STX is a nice big boy truck.
I'd be afraid to even drive it, I think.
Nah, you'd be able to handle it.
Too nice.
No, you could do it. You could do it. That is not the kind of truck that you would want to just be throwing tree limbs in, though. Like, you could, but you don't want to throw tree limbs and manure in there.
In my old house, I cut some bushes down and I had to throw it over the hill. I didn't want to drag it, so I threw it in the trunk of the Altima. I really did something classic. I tied up all the brush with some rope and just dragged it down the street.
Sure, that makes total sense.
It worked. Jesus. It worked.
I can just imagine what people are thinking when they see you dragging a whole bunch of branches and brush and all kinds of crap down the street behind your 2010 Nissan Altima.
I was living in Portview at the time, so it was normal.
It was just another day in the port. Yeah, that's true. Speaking of people that actually know how to take care of things in your yard, thanks as well to Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. You want to get a yard that actually looks nice without having to worry about spending gajillions of dollars of water on it every summer, without having to worry about cutting the grass. They can give you the best looking yard in the neighborhood. In several neighborhoods, in fact, because they can give you real lifelike looking artificial turf. Maybe you don't want it for the whole yard. Maybe you just want like a corner where you do a little practice, you know, a little pitch and putt with the golf because you're a big golfer. Maybe you just want a play yard area for the kids because you got little ones running around. whatever. Maybe you want turf all over the place. They can do it all. It's all waiting for you at southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. They will help take care of you. Again, southwestgreenspa.com. They'll get your yard fixed up right, and it won't be a muddy mess, and you won't have a guy in a 2010 Nissan Altima dragging brush through your yard either. Just a suggestion. You probably wouldn't like that. Yeah. All right. Let's start with this. Let's start with the Jerry Dulac news of the day. Jerry reporting that apparently it seems, Mark, as if ownership may be in the Russ camp and Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff may be in the Justin Fields camp. Color me surprised about this, because it's not like anyone hadn't talked about this for the last week or two on any sort of, you know, online talk show. All due respect to Jerry and everyone else that covers the team. I said this on X earlier today. I don't think there's anybody more plugged into what's going on behind the scenes than the guy sitting next to me here on your television monitor, your video screen. Yeah, you, big guy. And so we've had an idea about this just because of the information that you've brought to light and the talking about it that's gone back and forth, that, yeah, that seems like the art thing, that he would like the more experienced guy, in this case, Russell Wilson, and that Mike Tomlin may be more of a Justin Fields fan. I don't think anybody's shocked by this, right? The question now is, who wins out?
Yeah, I mean, it's – well, we can – all we can do right now is speculate of why. I mean, why would Art want Russ? Why would Mike want Justin? I would say that we're speculating on this one. I think it's kind of obvious. I think Art thinks 10 wins, add a piece here or there, and Russell gives you the best opportunity to win this year. And that's, I mean, that's just how he has run the organization for years and years and years now. Now, I don't know how it breaks down amongst the decision makers in that room. I could tell you this much. I mean, in my dealings with it, if the owner says jump, they're going to jump.
Yeah.
So, I mean, rightfully so, he is the owner. But, I mean, Art is not a guy that is without taking in other people's opinions as well. So, I mean, there's a lot more attached to this as well. I mean, you could have your preference, but it doesn't mean everybody's going to be there. Right? I mean, if you want X player and if Justin Fields decides to go to the Jets instead, then it's a moot point.
Right. Or a mute point, as Bill Cowher would say. But we would agree that Russell Wilson, at least it seems like it from the way he's acted about things so far in the offseason, if the Steelers say, hey, Russ, come on back, but they won't even finish the sentence, and he will be hopping in the car with Sierra and the kids driving back into the burg.
Yeah, it could all be a ploy to, you know, get the money down as well, too. I mean, we don't know. I mean,
we do know that a couple years ago, when the question of whether they were necessarily excited about bringing Ben back for another season or not was being debated within those very same hallways and very same offices, that there was similarly discussion amongst the people at the top, which at that point, one corner of the triangle of the triumvirate was different. It was Kevin Colbert instead of Omar Khan.
And he's the one who didn't want him back.
Right. And did he end up winning out?
You see how that worked out.
Exactly. So look, it doesn't necessarily, it that there in of itself kind of proves the point that if Art wants to go forward with one guy and that guy is the more available guy, it wouldn't surprise me at all, Mark, mm-hmm. if, you know, like late night March 9th, before the official tampering period begins, we get the, oh, Russell Wilson re-signing in Pittsburgh on a team-friendly 2-year deal with one, you know, with a club option after the first year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be possible. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. I keep saying that because it's the reality of the situation. I mean, if I just find that it hard to believe if, even if Art is the owner, signs the paychecks, number, you know, mm-hmm. his name's on the facility there, and he's old man and grandpaps in the Hall of Fame that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't let Mike Tomlin have his say in this, even though that is the case. I don't, he doesn't come across to me as saying, fist on the table, Mike, I don't care what you say, we're bringing Russell back. If we're breaking those three into the old pie of a 33 and a third,
right?
Which I don't think that would be the case in this term right here. I think it's more like 45, 45, Omar, what do you think? You know, type of thing, right? I think you would defer to Mike Tomlin on this. I would just think that that would be it.
So I would think so too, normally. And I said that as much a couple weeks ago when we talked about this originally, the idea of Art preferring Russ and maybe Mike preferring Justin Fields, and that at a certain point, Art does, I don't want to say back down, because I don't know exactly how the conversations go and if that's necessarily the dynamic of it, but that at a certain point, Art goes, all right, Mike, if you really think this is what's best. But I also think Mike Tomlin is the kind of guy who would look at this practically, and his number two choice is probably Russ, right? Because it's the devil he knows. And if he knows that Justin Fields is going to hit the market and maybe get more money than even Mike Tomlin thinks he's worth, then even Mike Tomlin might jump out in front of it and ahead of it and say, well, from what I'm hearing, Justin's going to cost too much. Let's just bring Russ back. And yeah, that, I mean, in essence, is not Mike backing down to Art, but Mike saying, hey, I want to do what's realistic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, let's make no mistake about it. It's going to have a lot to do with money. They're going to put a market value, their market value, not SpotTrack's market value, not over the cap's market value, the Pittsburgh Steelers' market value on a guy. And typically, they don't wiggle much from that number at all. So if they put, I'm just saying hypothetically, 2 for $30 on Justin, it does seem a little high. But just say they do that, and somebody else offers him 3 for $40 or something, they move on. I mean, there is no negotiation or very little negotiation. So there's going to be a lot to do with what they want, and it always comes down to money. It always does.
I just also think that they're going to be very careful about going into March 10th, the March 10th through March 12th, legal tampering period. They ought to just say free agency starts on March 10th. I don't know why they do this crap.
That just was a couple years ago, right? I mean,
it's been 4 or 5 years since they started this system, I think. But it's just say free agency starts on March 10th. So we don't have to sit here and talk about proposed deals and intending to sign. Just let's be real. Anyway, that's a completely different tangent that doesn't really matter.
What about our friend Justin pulling out the old Ted DiBiase line? Everyone has a price.
You got to do the $1 million man laugh. I just think they're going to be very not frugal. That's not the right word, although they may end up looking frugal. I think they'll be very practical about wanting to have this figured out before March 10th, because they also know, and I think there's a fear, I think it's a very practical and real fear, that if they don't have someone locked up by March 10th, all their quarterbacks are going to vanish into thin air and vaporize, and they're going to be left playing footsie with, like, Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think they want that. I don't think they want that at all.
Or, you know, guys like Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson.
I don't think they'll pay Sam Darnold, to be honest.
Well, nor should they.
That's a fair point, too.
I mean, does the Pittsburgh Steelers have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison? Who else do they have? TJ Hawkinson,
no.
Aaron Jones, Kevin O'Connor.
Nope. Connell, but close enough.
That's why I let it trail off at the end there.
Kevin O'Connor. they don't have any of those. Funny you brought up a quarterback from Minnesota, though, because our old friend Andrew Filippone has jumped into the chat. Not literally. He's not watching this right now.
I totally forgot about Daniel Jones playing there this year. Totally forgot. I'm thinking, where are you going with this one?
Pony saying that a source has told him. I don't know. I didn't actually read the tweet. I glanced at it real quick and then kind of laughed at it. I'm not laughing at you, Pony, if you happen to see or hear this. I'm laughing with the idea of Daniel Jones being the Steelers starter. Now, I will agree with this. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised that after the dust settles in free agency, if somehow Daniel Jones ends up being the backup here. But I don't, even the Steelers know well enough to know that they're not going anywhere with Daniel Jones as QB1.
Here's the thing about that is, if you happen to sign Justin Fields, what is his feelings if Daniel Jones comes in?
Didn't
we just do this last year?
But does Justin Fields feel especially threatened by Daniel Jones?
Well, if Justin Fields wanted to go to the Jets, there's nobody behind him. If Daniel Jones wants to go to Justin Fields wants to go to the Giants, there's nobody behind him. I guess if he goes to the Saints or Spencer Rattler. So,
you're always going to have a backup quarterback behind you. Well, like, that's just a fact.
Not a top 20 pick, first round guy. That's
okay. I think we've reached the point. I think we've reached the point, Joe Shane, where we can safely say that Daniel Jones was overdrafted. You think?
Well, everybody knew that from day one, but
okay. So I think if you're Justin Fields, you're not if you go into a camp with Daniel Jones as your backup, you're not going into that camp fearful of losing your job. Like, short of injury and a significant one at that has you out for a long time, and Daniel Jones all of a sudden pulls quality football out of his rear end. Like, you're not, if you're Justin Fields, you're just not worried about that. I don't think.
I mean, I would take a flyer on Daniel Jones at this point, considering if you're looking at him as a potential backup, yeah. I mean, or even a potential backup with starter capability when you consider who else could be out there in that role. I mean, the Rodgers, the Carrs, and all those guys.
Right. Like in our stupid little quarterback draft that we did, like most realistic options to be the Steelers starting quarterback week 1.
I won that way.
You did not win. Realistic, you have Mason Rudolph and Kyle Allen on your list.
Yeah, but I won. I got more votes. I mean, the fans got number 1, but we gave them the layup. But you were well in third place.
Well, because people just didn't like my list. But we're talking about reality here. We're not talking about what we want to see happen. We're talking about reality. Aaron Rodgers is a reality in a world where Fields and Wilson both poof disappear into thin air and end up somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins becomes a reality or a possibility because he's going to be cheap because he's Russell Wilson from last year. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones, who I also had on my list, I'll admit, as a realistic possibility because he could be the backup and the starter gets hurt. I mean, all of those are realistic possibilities.
Yeah, and they're all not game-changing possibilities.
None of
them. Including the two guys that are currently on the roster, or all three, I guess, are currently on the roster.
See, am I naive to believe that there's still a little bit more to get to the ceiling for Justin Fields where we go, I think there's something little bit more in there. Look, I'm not doubting that Arthur Smith probably isn't the guy to unlock it, but I don't know. If I'm Justin Fields, that might be what drives me somewhere else. Like, I saw what I could do with a passable, somewhat average at best offense and meh offensive coordinator. What if I go someplace, and I keep mentioning this because Kellen Moore is official there in New Orleans now, but like, what if I go someplace like New Orleans, get to work with a legit offensive coordinator, offensive play caller like Kellen Moore? Like, if I'm Justin Fields, that's attractive to me, even with the Saints being bereft of talent around the rest of the roster.
Weren't we like praising Arthur Smith 13 games into the season? Boy, he's done a really good job to be able to get the most out of the Russell Wilson. The offense looks good. They're putting up 30, 40 points a game. They're beating teams like the Commanders. They're beating teams like the Bengals.
I'm not here to say that Arthur Smith is bad at his job. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know how we talk about quarterbacks or game managers, and some quarterbacks are winners. They go out there and steal games for their teams, right? They drag less than talented teams kicking and screaming to conference championships and Super Bowls. Arthur Smith is not a coordinator on that level. he's the replacement level coordinator, right? Like, he's the game manager coordinator. And he did do a very good job with Russell Wilson in the middle of this season.
Or was he told to be that guy?
You say that. So
I'm just saying. I don't know.
You are just saying. That's the thing.
Was he told to be that guy?
Have we ever seen an Arthur Smith offense in the past that looked markedly different in complexion from the one that we saw from the Steelers this year, right?
No, in Atlanta, those 3 years, he even admitted to me when I talked to him that he made a mistake. He should have never been calling plays and being a head coach. He said that was a mistake from him from day one. He should have never did it. He should have had the offensive coordinator call the plays right there. So you almost have to throw that out. He realized his mistake right there. And, you know, when you got decent players like Derrick Henry and, you know,
A.J.
Brown or whatever, whoever was in Tennessee at the time, all of a sudden you don't look like that bad of a coordinator.
Exactly. That's kind of my point in and of itself, Mark. Like, I don't think he's – I'm not saying he's bad. He's just replacement level. You know, he's a mid-2000s Pirates shortstop. He's Jack Wilson, you know?
See, you got the $160 million defense. I know they got absolutely thrashed at the end of the year, but you would think that they're better than that. I mean, just by the pedigree of them. What prevents Russell Wilson to being successful here if they do add Debo Samuel? They have George Pickens. They add a first-round running back or a second-round running back. They have Fatanu back. I mean, why are we just dismissing Russell as a guy? I know why we're dismissing him, because there's no long-term future there. I don't think he was that bad. He wasn't as bad as people think he was in the last third of the season. And just like Justin Fields wasn't as good as what we think he was in the first third of the season.
So it's not an out-and-out dismissal of Russ. It's that those seven games in the middle of the season after he took over were the best that are left for him. Right? Like that's it. That's the ceiling for Russ at this point. I keep bringing up ceilings. The ceiling for Fields, I think, is out there and still remains to be seen based on the talent around him in the quarterback.
I think the floor is pretty low there too for Justin.
Maybe. Mean,
4 years of.
But what's the floor of Russ when his defense doesn't play well and he's got to be that quarterback that drags his team kicking and screaming to victory because the defense isn't playing well? We got one game of that, right? We got one game, and it was against the Cincinnati Bengals defense.
I just think you can do worse than Russell Wilson right now.
Oh, I'd agree with that. You can do worse than Russ. I just think you can also do better than Russ, and it happens to be a guy who you had here last year.
Is that Justin, though?
I think it is.
I think it is. I mean, I think you got to take the chance. I mean, that's the smartest business decision.
Yeah, exactly. But
there's no guarantee there. There's nowhere near being a guarantee there.
It's just short-sighted, I think. I know we keep kicking the Russ versus Fields thing back and forth, and we have been for weeks, and we'll continue to do it.
We got some issues. I mean, they don't even have a running back right now either.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's a ton of other issues to bring up. Let's pivot to one of those issues then, because T. Higgins. And we're going to keep talking about quarterbacks until it's actually decided anyway. So there's more of that conversation to come down the line. But T. Higgins looks like he's going to be franchise tagged by the Bengals. That's the report anyway. They're going to have to pay him a ton, another franchise tag.
He's not going to be happy.
He's not going to be happy. But the other problem is that if Higgins is taken off the market, whether it's staying in Cincinnati or it's a tag and trade or something like that, or a tag to facilitate a sign and trade, I guess, because you can't trade a tagged player. But if it's something like that, it takes your top wide receiver target out of the free agency market, right? And we've talked a lot about the wide receiver free agency market. Yes, we might have Devontae Adams as a part of that market. He might just get a straight release from the Jets. Yes, Cooper Kupp may still be a part of that market. He may get a straight release from the Rams. But we're back to the same problem. A bunch of wide receivers who are either injury prone and or old. Chris Godwin is immediately going to vault to the top of the list because he's only 29 now this month and going into this season.
Is that rise to the top of the list?
Yeah, I guess. He doesn't really have to vault anybody, does he?
He would vault
this to the top of the list. This is part of the fun of Kabali and Mac After Dark. You don't know what words we're going to use correctly or not.
You, I accidentally said first round running back and Justin's all over my ass.
Well, yeah. Well, unless Ashton Jeanty falls to 21, in which case, okay, yeah.
Forget that.
You wouldn't take Jeanty 21st?
No, didn't you learn your lesson already? I don't care if that's the second coming of Walter Payton.
Wow. So where would you take a running back then? If you're talking about drafting a running back.
Second day.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Back to the
receiver. To add to your point there, so, you might have the veteran Debo or whoever, DK Metcalf, forever, but then you got Roman, you got Calvin Austin, you got a first-round pick, and all of a sudden you got a nice little mix of youth and age.
The Seahawks aren't trading Metcalf, I don't think. They're
maybe in the final year of his deal, right? I think he might be.
Maybe. I could see them releasing Lockett. But anyway, here nor there. Just another guy who would be, I think, 30-something and getting towards the end of his career. Amari Cooper, 31 in June. We talked about all these guys before. Yeah. Hopkins is 33 in June. Keenan Allen is 33 in April. Devontae's 32. Kupp is 32. Debo's 29, but his built like a 35-year-old with all the hits he's taken running the ball over the years. That's it. That's all. That's the list. And so immediately the T. Higgins franchise tag means that market just shrinks even more because you take the one elite talent who was going to be at the top of the market off the board. Everyone else is now fighting over the same.
More hit in the market here. Cap hits. I mean, weren't they trying to get rid of Christian Kirk last year?
Is Christian Kirk fixing this receiving core?
Oh, he sure the hell is helping it.
I mean, he missed a handful of games last. He's missed like 10 games over the last.
You know, that deal was in place. They were trading for him. He was here. Then he broke his collarbone like 2 days before that. And like,
so literally everyone we're talking about is either fragile or old or both. Yeah. Like, I mean, but Nate says he'd trade a fourth for Debo.
I saw somebody project him being a third day, like fifth, sixth rounder. I'm like, whoa, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, he's a one-year guy with, you know, age. Well, but, you know, I'm going, you know, I was a big Debo guy. If Debo's 1A, I'm putting Keenan Allen at 1B because I think he could help the room in general. And he still has talent there. I think he has to.
I mean, he didn't look bad in Chicago. He didn't look bad. The wide receiver market just gets compressed, I think. I think Higgins, whether it's staying in Cincinnati or then getting traded somewhere else, is what it – and again, being taken off the market theoretically. Keenan Allen isn't 54, Justin. Just popped up in the chat to say that. Well, he's 33.
Adam Thielen's another one. They really looked into him at the trade deadline last year, but they were kind of scared away from that hamstring injury. Then he turns out to have a pretty good month and a half to end the season with Carolina. So
Thielen's 35 in August, right?
He was looking good the last four or five games of the year, though.
Yeah. I mean, he was a big part of Carolina actually looking like a functional offense towards the end of the season, or at least replicating a functional offense at times. But what Omar likes to do, we know, is address areas of need before the draft so that he's not pigeonholed into taking certain positions at certain picks usually. One of these guys that we're talking about, I have to envision as a Steeler.
Yeah, but what did he do last year? Signed Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins.
I didn't say they always hit.
Darrell Patterson. I mean, they didn't move the needle very much.
I didn't say they always hit. I'm just saying that's typically what he does is he tries to address certain positions with mid or lower level free agents so that he doesn't have to scramble and draft guys in those.
Which spots. End up, you know, reaching, not reaching, but picking who they want anyways. I mean,
well, yeah, they save. Look, if they're going to scramble for a draft pick, they're going to save that for overdrafting a quarterback in the first round.
I mean, hey, even the running back situation with Warren and the restricted free agent tag, that I do believe, I don't know if it has to be put on him now. Steelers tend to not release who they tag with RFAs, but the big deal there is with the original or first of right of refusal or second round tender.
Yeah, how's that work again? If they do a first right of refusal on
if Warren, somebody signs him to an offer sheet, they either get him or the Steelers have to match the offer. I don't think with any compensation whatsoever, the second round pick, they would receive a second round pick. I mean, in all my history of covering the Steelers, they have never, or at least I don't recall them ever, not putting the lowest tender possible on a restricted free agent.
Yeah, and I can't imagine they'd do that any differently now either.
Is anybody going to grab Jaylen Warren for $3.5 million?
Probably not. I know we think highly of him here. I'm not saying people don't like him. Like, he's got that bowling ball mentality, especially when he gets going downhill and all, but and can catch a little bit out of the backfield. But, like, I don't think anybody is racing to go sign Jaylen Warren on March 10th.
Plus, especially with the draft class so deep.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I don't see them paying him whatever. The second round tender was $6-7 million. That's ridiculous.
No, I don't either. But I do worry now that this wide receiver market, even with Adams, Cup, Samuel, whoever else might be a part of it, Lockett maybe. I just got a feeling I got a bad feeling about who they're going to end up with because they're all, like I said, either old and or hurt. Don't forget, it is freezing cold out, and should the furnace go kaput in the next few days, the people to call are Tony and the guys at Impact HVAC. They will get on out there and fix it for you as soon as they can. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Also, because within the next 2 months or so, it's going to start to warm up again. You're going to want to make sure your AC is ready to fire up. When it does get hot this summer, you can come on out. They can come on out, pardon me, and give everything a good checkup, a good look at what exactly the AC is doing, whether it needs to be tuned up or not. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. And get them on out there to look at everything. Make sure everything is in working order, kaboom, because what? What's it going down to tonight? It's going down to 9 tonight, my watch says.
You know, and my buddy in Florida, Scott Shaw, was whining about like 30-degree temperature the other day.
Come on,
like, bro, it's like -1 here when you were complaining. Yeah, you know when you're in Florida and it gets behind a certain temperature, like – those goofy lizards fall out of a tree and hit you in the head.
Yeah, because they freeze up. They just like go into suspended animation.
It's like be careful with the flowing iguanas or whatever they are. I'm like, what? Is this like legit?
They're everywhere down there too. Especially like with the place that we used to stay at for spring training. Because for the first year or two, they wouldn't spring for an actual hotel room. They gave us this house to stay in, right? It's this creepy old house. At the Crosley Estate. Crosley, like the family that used to own the Cincinnati Reds 100 years ago.
Sid Crosby, Mr. 5 points.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on that. That's a whole different direction. But there would be lizards everywhere in this place. Not only was the house haunted, I'm convinced, but there were also lizards everywhere. And it was a whole bunch of creepy. It very creepy. So we'll keep an eye.
Are we going to do a podcast Thursday night? Isn't that?
Oh, the game is that night. We might have to do it after the game. Speaking of the Four Nations Cup. Is it a cup or is it just the Four Nations face-off? It's called. I want to know what the trophy looks like now. Is it an actual cup that they'll be able to drink out of? Because this thing has taken on a life of its own, Mark. I know you can't stand it. You can't stand that hockey's getting some attention in the middle of February.
I tuned in for the first minute, and the first 9 seconds at least got me into the second period.
See, I'm telling you, this has done everything they needed it to do for casual hockey fans or sports fans who aren't usually hockey fans, that, you know, people are complaining about how bad the NBA All-Star game was over the weekend. This stuff replaced the NHL All-Star game, the Four Nations, and people are raving about it. Every game has been good. You got Sidney Crosby scoring goals. You got three fights in the first 9 seconds. It's everything we want out of hockey.
I'm still skeptical of his long-term viability because, you know, the NHL, they like to pound things into the ground, stadium series, all that crap. So,
I mean,
before you know it,
if every Four Nations face-off is going to be like this, I'll take it every other year, every 2 years or whatever it is. Like, they'll be at the Olympics next year. But, like, go back to it in 2027. Sure. Why the hell not?
What about Yoey listening to the podcast right now? He just texted me.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
Four Nations talk. Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Well, he knows I'm dragging this out of you. He knows I'm pulling teeth here.
You know, he's tough, man. He's probably found himself in a very, very bad situation. He's a huge Crosby fan, but he bleeds red, white, and blue. So I don't know how he's.
I think you can be both. You can be a Crosby fan and also, like I said it the other day when we talked about it, give me a multiple point night and multiple goals from Sidney Crosby, but in a game that the Americans win, and I'll take it. Because Sid plays well and the U.S. still wins.
Okay. How about another golden goal? Would you be okay with that?
I mean, yeah. I'd rather the U.S. win, but if there's any way for the U.S. to lose, that would be like the only palatable way.
And another thing, you being the hockey expert.
I'm not an expert. I just like Crosby, hockey.
Since Crosby basically did nothing in the USA, why all of a sudden Pittsburgh's now accepting Jake Guentzel back as their hometown hero?
Who's accepting Jake Guentzel back?
Oh, it's like, oh, Jake the Snake, milkshake, whatever. Like, shut up. He doesn't even play here anymore. He's not yours.
Well, look,
he grew up here.
Wait. If Jake Guentzel scoring a goal for Team USA gets me a free milkshake the next day, I'm all for it, dude. Like, I don't care who he's scoring for.
What I'm saying is the bar moved from let's go Sid to Jake did it. Like, no, Jake has no tie to the city anymore. Gone.
Okay. I don't. You get bent out of shape at the slightest little things that people say. I have not seen a raft of people praising Jake Guentzel again. Maybe I'm hanging out in the wrong corners of the social media sphere.
You know, one other thing. I'm going to go to this NBA All-Star game because I see people talking.
Okay, hold on. Real quick, before you go off on the NBA All-Star game.
You're
I got to think.
Go off. It's just a statement.
Okay, make your statement then. I have a surprise for the listeners.
The best part of the NBA All-Star break was Mr. Beast's $100,000 shot by the kid.
That was awesome.
Who beat, what's his name? Damian
Lillard. Yeah, that part was awesome. I mean, he was trying, and then he finally, at the last second, nailed it. That was fantastic. All right, here's the special surprise. I got to thank the guys at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village.
Uh-oh.
They have looked us up.
Tell me about this.
Because I just found out about it. All right? Are you ready for the surprise?
I'm not ready, but if it's a good surprise, I'm happy. Is that surprise can be good or bad?
It's a good surprise.
Okay, I'm all
because it fits right into the conversation we were just having a second ago. So what are we at? I don't even know, like 290-some subscribers on YouTube, right? On Kabali and Mac?
Yeah, okay.
So.
Getting there.
We are, as of 500 subscribers, all right?
Halfway
home. The first 500 subscribers. So go to YouTube.com right now, search Kabali and Mac, get subscribed. A lot of you are already subscribed if you're watching. In that case, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a loved one. Hell, it's late at night. You're laying in bed next to someone. Roll over and tell them to subscribe. To Kabali and Mac on YouTube, because thanks to the friends at First and Goal Collectibles, once we get to 500 followers on the YouTube channel, we are going to raffle off, give away. I'll see if you can see it here on my phone. It's not very
up a little.
I got to get a little bit closer. It is an autographed Sidney Crosby plaque from when he scored that golden goal you referenced in Vancouver. In Sochi, in 2014. No, you're not allowed to enter. Sorry. But yeah, once we get, so again, we're more than halfway there, but once we get to 500 YouTube subscribers, we'll throw everybody's name in a drawing from the first 500 YouTube subscribers, and someone will win, thanks to First and Goal Collectibles, that Sidney Crosby autographed plaque. I'll get a better picture. I'll save this picture and tweet it out on social media because I just got it texted to me. So I'm just holding it up to the camera right now. It's not quite the same from his.
I would look very nice in my newly constructed man cave.
Yep. This is from when Sid and Canada won the gold medal in Sochi in 2014. I originally said it was of the golden goal. It's not a picture of the golden goal, but it's when they beat Sweden there. You can see him scoring. So that's up for grabs to the first 500. And if you're already a subscriber to Kabali and Mac on YouTube, well, congratulations. You're already in the drawing. But we don't draw the name until we get to 500 subscribers on YouTube, which is why you have to go tell friends and family and loved ones to subscribe to Kabali and Mac on YouTube.
And please go to South Hills Village, right?
Yes, go to the First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village for more fantastic memorabilia and items just like that. And thanks to them for donating it as well.
Oh, that's impressive.
It is. It is big time.
He needs to set you up with something more than a paper poster behind you.
It's got nostalgia attached to it, the 1991 Penguin Stanley Cup poster.
That's something that came out of the Wheaties box, I think.
That is not. I have the Wheaties box here somewhere. I can't. It's in a down on a shelf somewhere. It may have been rolled up inside the Wheaties box at one point, and I had to get it out and flatten it again so I could put it up on the wall. But that's nostalgia, man. That's the one I had up in my room when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Now, I used to have a bunch of posters. I used to have obviously the Checkmate one.
Oh yes.
I used to have the Charles Barkley life-size Measure Yourself.
Nice. I've had growth chart.
I had the Jack Clark one, favorite baseball player of all time. I had a Jeff Gordon poster.
Jeff Gordon, wow.
Back then, I was a big NASCAR fan in the late 90s.
Bill Gordon, redneck.
The Checkmate. I know that I loved the Checkmate because I was a big Yager fan. I'm sure. I think I had a Britney Spears one, too.
Was that the
oh, we know the famous one.
I had Jenny McCarthy, so we each had our inspiration, our muse over in the corner of our bedrooms, undoubtedly.
Yeah. 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 Don't post anymore.
No.
Fatheads and stickers and
my son does posters. He's 11. He's into Michael Jordan, so he's got a Michael Jordan calendar, a Michael Jordan poster. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got
amazing. Another one. I have a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, second grade, and just going to their school and seeing his friends. Everybody has a Jordan type of shirt. Jordan 23, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is amazing. This is 30 years after he played, or at least when he was good. And they still know who Jordan is.
Well, they should. Best player of all time. GOAT. He's the GOAT. All right. One more quick thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up here on Kabali and Mac After Dark. I'm done with it already. It's not drawing me in any more than it's supposed to. It's peaked and we are still almost 2 months out from WrestleMania. Ooh. It's the Jey Uso Gunther storyline.
Well, you really hate Gunther, don't you?
I don't hate Gunther.
I would love to see him chop you.
He'd kill me. I told you that. If he chopped me, it would slice me in half. It would pop my head off.
The only issue I have with that is what are they going to do for the next 9 Monday nights?
This is my point, Mark. They've already tapped it out. Jay comes out, yeet, 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 and then, should I do it again? Okay, hit the music again. Yeet, yeet. Gunther comes out, tells Jay that he sucks. And then he's going to kill him at WrestleMania. And that's that. Like, there's no progression of the storyline happening whatsoever.
But you don't think that this is coming down the line here? They just can't do this for 9 straight weeks. Something else is going to happen.
My hope is that something else happens. But it also, all due respect to Jey Uso, who is an absolute crowd favorite right now, he's not exactly, neither one of these guys is working the storylines via the mic and the in-ring promos that are going to progress it anymore.
Did you see Gunther last night? Just trolling the living hell out of everybody, walking through the crowd. And he looked at that little chubby kid and said, "You better get out of the way, kid, before I get in trouble." This is great.
And look, he leans into the old school heel work better than anybody, right? Yes. I'll give him credit for that.
I have more worries than that. I have worries about the women's elimination chamber.
Why?
Who the heck's going to face Rhea? Liv Morgan for the 170,000th time? We're going to Roxanne Perez? What are we doing here?
I have a plan.
Get Becky in there somehow.
Jeez.
I mean that for how impressive the men's side is, the women's a little bit. I mean, what we got? What's her name? Bailey,
Naomi, Bianca.
What's her name that just came back? Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Liv.
I mean,
what are we doing here?
Maybe it's a big Roxanne Perez buildup. Although, but see, here's the thing. None of them, Liv included, presents as a legitimate, I don't want to say a legitimate challenger, because she's a legitimate challenger, but none of them you look at and go, oh, yeah, she could beat Rhea. Maybe Bianca. Maybe. But like,
you know, I think if you go Bianca, if you find out Rhea is the one that took out Jade Cargill, but then that would demolish Rhea's.
As a face, as baby face, yeah.
Why would she do that?
See, I think there's more coming with Bianca and Naomi, where there's a rift with Jade back. That's got to be a part of the story.
About their ring gear? Whew, the old Clovers from what movie was that?
Bring It On.
Bring It On.
Yeah.
It's been brought.
it's a legitimate point. Like, I don't know. Maybe somebody sneaks in the last 2 weeks. Maybe there's, I don't know. This is why Justin's our number one fan. How about this theory? How about Bianca did it to Jade? How about that? And then she turns heel just in time for WrestleMania.
Well, Jade takes out Bianca.
Maybe.
And they have to replace her with the man.
You're really all about the Becky Lynch return, aren't
Who's
you?
The sixth member of the Elimination Chamber? Oh, my goodness.
Is that your best Michael Cole impersonation?
Michael Cole.
Who thought Puerto Rico was not part of the U.S.?
You know what? Then some people were giving Pat some grief, and he had to, like, pull out the Wikipedia and, like, highlight it. But Cole was on Impulsive today.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
I watched a little bit, then I fell asleep.
Must have been really good. Logan Paul, scintillating interview.
Yeah, it was good until I fell asleep. I mean, I fall asleep at like, I'm narcoleptic or something. Wow. I'm like, sometimes if I know I have to go pick up my kid from the school bus at 3:15.
Yeah.
No matter what time it is, I have to set my alarm for 3:00 because I don't know if I'm just going to pass out at some point during the afternoon.
See, I used to have that problem when I got up at like 3:45 in the morning every day. You don't get up at 3:45 in the morning.
I went to bed last night at 3 a.m. and woke up at 7. So
why?
You know what they do in Italy.
Were you writing your Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I wrote it. Then they don't publish it until Wednesday. So it's just strange.
Come on, WWE.com team. Let's get on it. This man provides fresh insights every Tuesday morning. We got to get it up right away.
Yep, and I actually, hey, you know what else I did today, man? I know people really care about this. But
I'm sure they do.
Went to the tax man.
Oh, that's never fun.
Especially when half your salary is 1099.
You, boy, got to pay those estimated taxes ahead of time, kaboom.
Yeah, I wasn't really anticipating changing jobs in August.
Yeah, that's fair. That's that could really put a wrinkle into the plans, so to speak. Yeah.
I haven't really got the final number, but
well, That's when you win that pickup truck from the Whitehall Fire Company raffle and just sell it off to pay your taxes. How about that?
Or that Sidney Crosby.
Win the Sidney Crosby autograph plaque. Maybe we sell some more of these dry, wet, dry t-shirts, huh?
Or you know, get some more, a couple more sponsors to the show. We welcome them all.
Always welcoming new sponsors. Again, thanks to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. We got to thank Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Get your yard looking just right in the perfect shape, just in time for spring. And of course, our friends at Impact HVAC. And now, First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village, as they have provided a wonderful prize to one of our first 500 subscribers on YouTube. You will get this autographed Sidney Crosby plaque that, again, this terrible version of me holding the phone up to the camera cannot do justice.
If I would have known you were doing that right now, I would have texted you some kind of
something terrible,
some angry grandma video or something.
Nobody loves angry grandma like you. I'll tell you.
Kind of funny. It's kind of, it reminds me of my old grandmother.
Really?
We used to watch wrestling like that. I mean, she wouldn't swear like that, but it's just funny.
My grandma did not like wrestling, but she did like staying up late listening to West Coast baseball and playing canasta, which I've completely forgotten how to play, but is a good old lady card game.
Yeah, mine would like to stay up late and watch Morton Downey Jr. You remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Yeah, he'd sit there and smoke while he was interviewing people, and then he'd piss them off and they'd punch him.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Great stuff. Back in the mid-80s, I guess, right?
Mid-late 80s, yeah. Yeah, back in the infancy of the shock jock talk show era, like just as Stern was taking off and just as like, I mean, that's still a good amount of time before Jerry Springer, but like he kind of laid the groundwork there.
Yeah, there's some good clips on YouTube of Morton Downey. I think did he get beat up by? No, he hosted a show where
He got beat up by somebody on the show, didn't he?
What's his name got beat up?
Maybe I'm getting people confused.
Shoot. What the heck's his name? Not Don King. My goodness.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Good job. It's late.
We probably should give Justin like the listener of the night since he commented 106 times.
Thanks to Justin. Yeah, he was all over it on the YouTube feed, as well as Nate and even Yoey commenting on the feed. Yeah, he did.
I must have blocked him.
Our guy, Brian Pearson, who asked if Team USA could beat Canada twice. Of note, Team USA has not beat Canada in an elimination.
What are we talking about? What's that even mean?
I don't know. You probably said something dumb.
True.
Yep. It's worth pointing out at high level NHL best on best country versus country competition, the U.S. hasn't beaten Canada in a winner take all game since the 1996 World Cup of Hockey. So Canada's won the last two in that situation. I think Team USA can do it this time around, though. And that's when we'll do the next edition of Cabale and Mac After Dark after that game. Does that sound like a plan?
We could talk about the Buccos. I'm coming out of retirement to play first base.
You and Daniel Vogelsong and – or not Vogelsong, Vogelbach. And
what are you saying, Mac? What are you saying, Mac?
Big guys with softball swings.
I don't have no swing right now.
No? Achilles getting in the way of that?
I could probably play softball now. Don't they just hit home runs and you just don't even run the bases?
Basically, yeah. I mean, beer league softball, yeah.
Not too old for that.
Not the kind that I have to drag my daughter to every weekend this summer. That's like legit softball.
Oh, TJ softball wins the state championship. Ooh,
look at us. Yeah, damn right. 5A state champs. Getting right back at it in a couple weeks here. All right, that's going to do it for the first edition of Cabale and Mac After Dark. We'll do it again on Thursday after the U.S. beats Canada in the Four Nations face-off final. And Cabale, I expect you to show up in something patriotic, okay?
And no. And number two is make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe if you want to win. It's only one way to win.
That's the only way to win the Sidney Crosby autograph plaque from First and Goal Collective.
Don't ask me to cheat for you because I won't.
You will not. And I will not cheat for anybody either. You got to go to the first. First 500 subscribers. Go subscribe right now, Kabali and Mac.
I guess it depends on how much you offer me. But.
No, you can't put that caveat out there. Go to bed. It's too late.
It's a joke.
All right. This has been Kabali and Mac After Dark. Thanks for joining us.